Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and we added $585 billion to our deficit last month. We're headed for trouble. And listen, this is not Trump's fault. He is doing his best to try to straighten things out, but Biden laid a lot of landmines. And I don't know if we're going to get it done until we see a complete collapse of the dollar, and the wealthy are preparing for it. You should too. And there's many strategies to involve. Can't go into all of them here. Just going to say this. Do what I do. For the last 8 years, I've been working with Noble Gold to protect what I have earned. And if you do not, Dodd-Frank Law 2010 will let the banks keep everything you have, including your retirement, if it's associated with the bank. So all you got to do, this is all you have to do to get started to protect yourself. Call 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And tell them I told you to call, and they know who I am. We've been doing business together for a long, long time, both as a customer and a marketer. Our guest is Tom Renz, and no secret, he's no stranger to the Common Sense Show. Tom and I started doing shows when he was bravely standing up to the abuse of ventilators and all that kind of nonsense that was going on during the COVID years. And he was one of the brave lone voices out there in the wilderness. And he got a lot of pushback, as a lot of people did at that time. And he's still standing, and he's still doing a lot of expose on medical abuse of American people. And we're going to hit that as a primary topic today. And Tom, I'm really glad to have you back. It's always great to have you on the show. You're a popular guest. My audience loves you. And I just wanted to say thanks for the work you've done. But where I'd like to start today is with the RFK hearings. I'm totally turned off by Democratic tactics and how they questioned him. I don't know how any reasonable person with an IQ above room temperature could look at those hearings and say, oh, yeah, I'm convinced he's a bad guy and the Democrats are right.
Yeah, well, glad to be back, Dave. I love your audience and I appreciate being here. And you're dead right. It was repulsive. But I mean, the Democrats at this point, they've collapsed on a level that, I mean, it's almost hard to see if I wasn't so excited about it. Yeah, these people, yeah, you got Elizabeth Warren up there, who's taken more money from Big Pharma than most people will see in a lifetime. And she's going to try and lecture Bobby on health issues.
I know.
It was disgusting. But Bobby yesterday, probably more than any time I've seen him since he's taken the HHS job, was the guy we were shooting to see. He called her out right there. You know, hey, I know about the $855K you took from Big Pharma. And actually, it's a lot more than that over the years. But yeah, this woman is a crook. Just like Bernie Sanders, just like these other guys. And, you know, you see the 1,000, think about this, 1,000 employees from HHS signing a letter to try and get rid of their boss. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine in the private sector, Dave, if you or I, you know, signed a letter saying that we want our boss fired? I mean, it's insane. Only in something as screwed up as our government can that happen. And only the leftists would have the gall to do this and think that it's going to resonate.
You know what bothers me about this, and it's like Trump situation with the Department of Education. When you're the head of an agency, or in Trump's case, the head of the executive branch, you should have the ability to hire and fire as you see fit. And the Supreme Court, to a large extent, has upheld that. So I don't know why Bobby doesn't just start cleaning house and bringing in good people.
Well, that I can answer for you because I've looked into this, right? So you can hire and fire completely at will for political appointees in the executive branch, right? So Trump and Bobby, to a large extent, have the capacity to get rid of the political appointees. The problem is the career bureaucrats have a ton of protection. So, and I'm going to summarize, but from a legal perspective, what's happened is if you're an employee of the federal government, you've been essentially granted a property right, legal property right in your job. And this is disastrous. Right. And this was done through the courts, but also through the Civil Service Reform Act, and then through the union contracts and a bunch of other things. But basically, There's a Fifth Amendment protection for your job if you're a federal employee.
That's
And
terrible.
it's horrible. It means that before you can be fired, you have a literal legal right to due process. Just like if I wanted to arrest you, you've got a right to due process. Before you can be fired from a federal job, you have a legal right to due process because the courts have said, well, listen, if you're a federal employee, you have this property right in your job, and so before you can be terminated, you have the right to due process before any deprivation of, life, liberty, or property. And so it's just bizarre and it's absurd that somehow these crooks, these bureaucrats, that's how they've become the fourth branch of government, because we have new people that come in on the political side all the time. But the bureaucrats, all they've got to do is keep their head down for 4 years, and you got a new group of people. So what they do is nothing changes federally because there's this property. Realistically, Donald Trump should have been able to come in, fire the whole crew, and start over with decent people, but they can't do that. There's no threat to their job, no matter how crooked these people are, because they can just drag their feet and drag this process out. And unless they've done something that provides cause for the executive branch, that can overcome the rights in the union contracts, the Civil Service Reform Act, and the Fifth Amendment rulings. And Civil Service Reform Act also further exacerbates this because it requires that before you fire a federal employee, their position is based solely on merit, and political considerations can't be in there. So if you're doing what looks like an adequate job, but you're getting fired because of political disagreement, you've got both the Fifth Amendment and Civil Service Act that really make it a nightmare to get rid of someone.
Well, I have a partial solution to that. Now, I should mention here to our audience, in case you don't know, and I should have included this in the intro, and I just assume people did. Tom was at the forefront of legal issues in COVID. He's an attorney. So I have to defer to his legal opinion. And this is why I like having him on, because he can go where I can't. But let me just say this, Tom, when Napolitano became the head of DHS, she had a hard time firing conservatives that were there, but she gave them offices in places like closets and abandoned buildings. And I think what they ought to do is make a list of who's naughty and who's nice, rent out a building, put them all in one building, give them nothing to do but shuffle papers and busy work, and go ahead and expand the budget a little bit and bring in some good people to replace them.
I would take it further than that. I think there's a very important need for an HHS office in the suburbs of Nome, Alaska. And I think that if we were to build that office there and put some temporary housing up there that we, as a government benefit, we provided them housing. I mean, that's an extra bonus. I think that would make a lot of sense. Listen, you're not supposed to dodge or try and get around the law in those ways, but the reality is that in this case, we have a very clear double standard. The Democrats, because of these crooked Democrat judges, get away with a lot of stuff. And yeah, this is a real big issue that, as an attorney, I'll talk to you about. It's not a fair fight. Okay. What we're dealing with has never been it hasn't been a fair fight for years. If I go into a courtroom and I argue in good faith with conservative causes, the judges who believe like me are going to hold me to the standards of the Constitution and the law. So as
Understand.
a lawyer, when I go into a courtroom, it's not Democrat or Republican. It's not supposed to be Democrat or Republican. It's supposed to just be the law. The problem is that conservatives and even Democrat lawyers who are old school lawyers who truly believe in the law, they hold you to that standard. Where we run into an issue is we now have a group of leftist activist judges who don't. And so we have all people held to a standard of law, but some people who get away with doing whatever they want because they're leftists. And so they align with these leftist judges. There's no one on the right that moves it politically back to the right. You have the good judges that are in the center, which is where you're supposed to be. It's not political, it's just law. But the leftists move the paradigm. So if you think about it on a spectrum, right, and you think about you hold up a ruler, right, a 12-inch ruler, and you say the law is supposed to be right there between 4 and 7 inches, or 4 and 8 inches. Most things are supposed to occur in there. Sometimes it's a little bit to the right or left, but it's usually right around the center point. The problem is we've got all these leftists over on the 1-inch side, that keep moving things further and further to the left, and no one on the right side that moves it back to the center. In politics, everywhere but law, we have things, you know, are kind of moved back and forth because we got people extreme on one side, extreme on the other side, and so it ends up kind of in the middle, but not in the courts. In the courts, you only have the people who are properly in the center and then the people who are crazy on the left.
Yes.
And so that's why we're getting such skewed rulings out of the court system. And that's actually part of the reason that the court system is so broken right now. It's because the people who actually believe in the law, and that's probably a majority of them, all end up right in the middle, because that's where you're supposed to be if you believe in the law. So there aren't hardcore right-wing judges. A hardcore right-wing judge ends up being a fair and impartial judge, whereas a hardcore left-wing judge is just skewed way to the left. There's no one skewed to the right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I've seen this really played out in the immigration issue.
Yeah.
So there's no question what you're saying is 100% accurate, but I still don't think that the judge could dictate workload. And I mean, I could be wrong, but I would take everything off their plate, because I'm going to go philosophical for a second, Tom. Okay. RFK is right, but I've known this before RFK Jr. was there. The food additives, everything else that's going on, the processed foods that were fed, the unhealthy environment. And so the CDC is seemingly the Center for Disease Creation.
Yes,
and
they are.
They are in the business of shortening America's lifespan. And I've seen too much evidence to believe otherwise. And I think that they need to act accordingly with RFK Jr. and Trump, and give these people nothing, bring in people, and that's where you do your work. And I don't see how the courts could interfere in that. A judge really can't dictate a workload assignment, can he?
I would say that's probably the best approach, because here's the problem. So from a constitutional perspective, what happens is if you're trying to dodge the law, well, they can say, listen, the spirit of the law is, and you're not aligning with that. But from a constitutional perspective, there is a certain reality that the judges and the judicial branch can't get into the politics of the executive branch. There's separation of powers. So if you've got people who are unwilling to do their job, because politically they're disaligned with what's being, then based on merit, then they could probably be fired or, you know, removed. And it's not remove their workload or something like that. So it's not that there's no solution. It's that the solution is much like you're seeing in immigration. It's very slow. It's very painful, because you have to go through the due process when it's challenged. You got the court hearings when it's challenged. So these changes can end up being drug out for a very long time. And we don't have a long time. You've got 4 years with Trump, and there's 100 years worth of work. So, you know, it's kind of an issue. And I will tell you that you mentioned something really important. I don't want to overlook it. The Center for Disease Creation, 100%. Now, here's one of the things that people don't understand about the CDC. The CDC that we talk about with you know, these crooks, well, that's a federal agency. It's a part of HHS. It's a government body. But the CDC by law is broken into two parts. There's the CDC that we talk about that's the federal agency. But then by law, they were allowed to create a 501c3, which is the CDC Foundation. What happens is Big Pharma and Big Tech donate a ton of money to the CDC Foundation. The CDC Foundation will take that money, and it'll be directed donations. And what a directed donation means is when you give a charity money, you can say, listen, I'll give you this money, but you have to use it for this. And as long as it's aligned with the charitable mission, they have to use it for that or not take the money. So the CDC Foundation will then accept the money, and the money will inevitably be for a study that proves Big Pharma. They're fake studies. They're garbage. It's nonsense. But because of the revolving door between HHS employees and Big Pharma employees, what'll happen is you'll get someone at CDC Foundation says, yep, we're going to do this study. It seems great. And the study will be, hey, this new cancer drug is 25% more effective than the old cancer drug, right? And this is the real insidious part. And they do this with vaccines. Hey, this vaccine is this new version of whatever vaccine is 25% better than the old version. it's not 25% better than placebo. It's not 25% safer than anything. It's 25% better than the old version. First of all, they don't define better. And second of all, it's better than the old version. So a great example, we dealt with cancer in my family, right? So the doctor says to me one day, "Hey, you guys need to be using this drug. It's 25% better than the old chemo drug." And I said, "Well, wait a second. How effective was the old chemo drug?" And
Exactly.
the doctor says to me, he says, "What do you mean?" Because he'd never had that question asked. I said, "Well, you said it's 25% better. Better than what?" I said, "You're not giving me an absolute risk reduction. What you're saying is that it's 25% better relative to the previous version. What's the absolute risk reduction?" He said, "Well, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that." Well, it turns out that the old drug was about 3% effective, and so we were up to 4% effective. I mean, or 4 and 5, yeah, somewhere in there. But it's garbage. But the CDC Foundation will get money from big pharma or big tech to do studies like that, and then they'll come out and the CDC will say, "We need to recommend this drug because it's 25% more effective." And so the fraud continues. It's not real science. It's all fake. And that's one of the big mechanisms by which money is essentially laundered into the CDC to manipulate the
I got
science.
it. Yeah, Tom, just and my audience may remember me saying this before. When I was in education, I used to teach graduate students the research methods on how to do their dissertations. And I did that for 4.5 years. And the thing that you're describing there is exactly right. In fact, I'll go even more technical. If you're looking at multiple causation variables, you have to do multiple regression analysis, which means you have to correlate each variable to the standard question, and there's a statistical process to go through. To make it simple, they go simple cause and effect and ignore that whole process. I've seen that over and over and over. And in our business, we call that fake research. And the CDC is replete with fake research.
Loads of it. I mean, and part of the reason for that, I mean, don't get me wrong, the CDC funds fake research anyways, but especially through this combination of the CDC Foundation and the CDC government agency. And this is law, right? So the CDC Foundation was actually it's in the law. It wasn't that the CDC woke up one day and decided to create a C3. There is actually a law allowing that money laundering to occur. So you have to understand that over the years, pharma has bought and paid for our Congress on a level that's really, really monumental. Our
Yes.
health is controlled and managed by these people on a level that no one really understands. And when I've looked, and Dave, if you think back to where you and I started, because I will tell you, in 2019, I was pro-vax, pro-pharma, pro-everything. I had no idea. Then COVID hit, and I start looking. And you can probably even remember over time how skeptical I was of some of this stuff.
Yes.
I mean, it's taken a lot of years for me to get up to speed. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, is a great, great friend to me. And when I first met her in 2020, and she was helping me research some of this COVID stuff, she would tell me about all the problems with vaccines. And I was just like, "Sherry, okay, I get it. There's fraud in COVID, but not all vaccines. Come on." And so I've done over time, I've done my research and I've looked. And Dave, I actually went through every single vaccine on the childhood vaccine schedule. Not one of them, literally, and Bobby's talked about this, it's been discussed, not one of them was approved based on a true gold standard study. There's been some secondary placebo stuff here or there. There's been some good studies, some bad, but not one of them was approved based on a true gold standard study that passes the sniff test. Every single vaccine, without exception, is arguably inherently dangerous, which is why they passed the Vaccine Act and shouldn't be on the schedule. And I'll tell you, Dave, I've gone out in the last few days, I've been talking about this, and it's extremely controversial, and I know it's a very broad statement. But if the FDA, if the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act creates a legal duty for the FDA to ensure safety and efficacy of the products that are put out and that we're putting in our children's veins, then I would argue that there should be that every single vaccine, there should be a moratorium federally against every vaccine on the market, because not one of them has actually been proven safe or effective. Not one of them has been properly studied. And we really don't know what we're putting in our kids' veins. My kids are vaxxed. I'm sad to say. I'm sad to say. I didn't know my children are vaxxed until 2020. Not since then, they haven't had any, and they will never receive another. But we don't know what these vaccines do individually. We have no idea what they do collectively. And we know that in 1986, when they passed the immunity law, that the pharma openly said they're inherently dangerous. So we don't know. We don't even know there's a benefit because of the confounding factors of the studies that were occurring. Because when they started developing vaccines was right around the time that we started seeing huge, huge gains in hygiene and health standards and ways, standards of living. So we can't actually say with any scientific certainty whatsoever that any vaccines are really responsible for the health improvements that we've seen over the last century.
Exactly. You're in my wheelhouse right now. I want to address what you said about the placebo research, and I'm going to keep it really simple for the layman out there. When you do placebo research, it basically says, okay, so the people think they're getting the treatment and they're not. And then you have the treatment and you compare the two. And you have to do it multiple times over to get the same result to make a conclusion. But here's what they do to have fraudulent research. They test people ahead of time for high placebo response and low placebo response. And so what they do is they choose the low placebo response to put into the control group, so they have a higher differential between that and the treatment that they're testing. And this is one of the ways that they create fraudulent research. It's common. And then you said one thing even before that, the revolving door between Big Pharma, the CDC, HHS, all those organizations. If you play ball and you're in the CDC, you got a cushy job when you retire from the government, and vice versa. And that should be outlawed. I've been screaming for years that we need to have a 5-year moratorium before you can make that jump, so you're not compromised in your decisions. And Congress won't even look at this. They won't even touch it because they're bought and paid for with this. So that those are some of the critical issues that you just brought up that I wanted to go back and hit on. Because it's all fraudulent research. But Tom, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be careful not to isolate too fully because I don't want complications for these people. But back in 2008, I'm in the second year of my show, and I interviewed some researchers from Cal Berkeley, and they were working on longevity. And they said, well, Dave, we should be living to be 120. And they didn't want to answer my question on air about why not. So I called them afterwards and I said, tell me what's going on here. You were evasive on this question. Why don't we live to be 120? And they said, because of things like vaccines and the foods we're eating, and their research centered on the length of the telomeres of the cell. And that's a great predictor of how long you live. The longer your telomeres last, and their length is correlated with longevity. And they said that what we're putting into our bodies is destroying our cellular structure. And that's part of mRNA problems too. And they said, and I said, how much is it shortening our lives? They said, generally, we estimate about 25% of our lifespan is lost. And they said, not only that, our health span, how long we're viable and productive, is even cut more than that.
Well, understand, and to make that worse, there's now research indicating that we could potentially use medicine to renew those telomeres. I
Yes.
mean, realistically, and it's interesting. It's interesting. And, to get into, if you look at it from a biblical perspective, it's kind of a thing because you look in the Bible and they talk about people living 900 years. Now, listen, I'm Christian. So if you don't like that, tough. That's my perspective. But it's an interesting thing, even from a historical perspective, because there's stories historically, not just from the Christian tradition, but elsewhere, of people that you live for a very long time. And it looks like something happened at some point where human lifespans were shortened. And what was that? We don't know. But regardless, now current research is now pointing to mechanisms and paths by where longevity could be increased dramatically. At the same time, we see what can only be called a depopulation agenda. And I've avoided using that term for years because I think it's very controversial, and I don't necessarily think it moves the ball down the field. But when I look at what's happening, when I look across the board, it's really hard to not call it that. I mean, you see the introduction of mRNA. Well, listen, I've got a document from 2006 published by the FDA. Okay, so trust the science. And it was an industry guidance document. And it said that if you're testing gene therapy drugs, and it described and defined gene therapy drugs in a way that would include the current mRNA vaccines, it says that those drugs have a great potential long-term to create both autoimmune issues and cancer.
Yes.
Well, look at what we've seen. Long-term, we see cancer exploding. We're right now, and remember, go back to 20, you and I talked about this. I'm sure I talked about it with you on your show. Go back to 2021, 2022. Said, listen, as bad as it is right now, give it a few years, 3 to 5 years out, we're going to see the population, you know, health issues like we've never seen. And look at what happened.
Yes.
In 2021, Joe Biden, shortly after pushing these mRNA vaccines on everybody, gave Big Pharma billions of dollars to start researching cancer. Why? Well, the same reason that Bayer, that had a treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, bought Monsanto, which creates non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Because this is the business model for Big Pharma. They make you sick, and then they give you the cure. And the secret, I don't think we've talked much here, but I've talked about it extensively, is that Big Pharma now owns Big Ag. So they make you sick with your food. They make you sick with the environment. They make you sick with your vaccines, with all these different things. And then they give you the treatments, not cures, because they don't even work on cures. There's over 10,000 cancer studies currently going on around the globe. Less than 200 of them are on cures. The rest of them are all on treatments. So the pharma, they make you sick, and then they give you the treatment. So you're a permanent customer.
Yes.
No cure, just a permanent customer.
Treating symptoms is what medicine's all about today. And I do, that's why I said the Center for Disease Creation. And I'm just going to give you two more examples. People, you're not convinced, listen to this very carefully. RFK Jr. just mandated the teaching of nutrition in medical schools. You have to scratch your head and say, where's this been? Medicine is derived from food. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, a proper diet is medical. And then not only that, they don't teach the value of exercise. Think about JFK in the 60s, the Presidential Council on Physical Fitness. Where did that go? And all of a sudden now RFK Jr. is bringing it back. Why didn't we have that? Because it adds to the lifespan. So I know we sound like a couple of conspiratorial nuts, but I'm just going where the actions and the data take me.
Yeah, there's nothing conspiracy theory about anything I'm saying. I mean, I can literally take you through the study, finding. I mean, listen, this isn't disputable. I would argue this, and I'll tell you what, it's an interesting thing because I'm a lawyer, not a scientist. But I'll tell you what, I would argue this with any scientist that wanted to argue with me. You tell me which of these topics you want to argue with me. I'll bring you the peer-reviewed studies. I'll bring you the data. I will be happy to argue this with anybody that wants to argue it. The stuff we're talking about isn't disputable, right? So as a lawyer, I don't look at it. I can't create the science. What I look at the science as is a tool, right? So my job is to decide what's true and what's false based on evidence. That's what we do in the law. And so we look at the evidence. I can read and understand the evidence, right? So I understand the peer-reviewed studies. I can look at them and say, yeah, this is garbage. There's confounding factors. They knew that they got a poor sample, poor this, poor that. I can do that. But that's part of evaluating the evidence. That's not being a scientist. Scientists create the studies, create this, create that. I look at the studies and poke holes in them. That is what we do. But when we look at this from an evidentiary perspective, it's not debatable. Right. This is purely just one side has a lot of good evidence. The other has none that's valuable. And again, this is one of the problems is that there aren't enough of the lawyers who've taken the time to understand the science, to look at it from the legal perspective and from, you know, really weighing the evidence. Because when you look at the evidence, one side has good, solid, indisputable evidence. The other, if I put it on a stand, I can poke holes in every single thing they're saying. It's just lie after lie after lie and garbage after garbage after garbage. So, yeah, it really, there's nothing debatable about this. It's just one side's got good evidence, the other one doesn't.
I know. And it's back to the fact that they need to change the workload assignments. I want to go to a different area that's very related to this. And it's interesting that you brought this up in our pre-air discussion, AI and medicine. And I just did a coverage of how AI just operated on an egg that had some stuff planted on the surface and removed it all without breaking the egg, saying, look how much more accurate an AI surgeon is than a human surgeon. And I said, red alert, red alert, red alert. So, what's your take on AI and the entry into the medical field?
Well, it's either going to save humanity or make us extinct, right? And it's a roll of the dice. And I don't know if I want to roll those dice, to be honest with you. So look, the AI, I've done a very deep dive into AI, and this area, I would say that I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting to the point where I've got probably about as much expertise as I did in the COVID and some of the health stuff, because I'm really digging deep into this. Understand that we have, as of today, numerous instances documented, not debatable, documented, where AI has lied. It's tried to blackmail engineers. It's actually, and there's been a couple reports of military instances where AIs turned on people and killed people. There's AI is something that is foreign that we don't fully understand. And understand that Grok may not be smarter than us today, but the first commercial AI system was Aladdin that came out in the 90s, and that's running BlackRock. And look at where BlackRock is now, by far the most powerful company in the world. And there's the reports, which we can't prove because it's confidential, but reports are that the military had AI 30 years before that. So AI is now the AI that's running the world right now. And I say running the world because I had a couple of whistleblowers during the Biden White House who work cybersecurity who told me that the biggest issue they were facing was that AI is out of control and no one knows what to do with it. The AI that we don't have access to is so far beyond us, so much smarter than we are, that it's really not competitive. So the thing is we're essentially trusting our life and health to AI. But guess what we're doing? Right now, and I was just in DC a few weeks ago, they're talking about the plans to fully implement AI-based healthcare. Well, that would be great if we could trust or control AI, but we can't. And right now, I want you guys to think about this. If you care about your privacy, if you care about your rights related to privacy, I want you to consider that the next phase of healthcare is going to be they want to take your blood, they want to do a full genetic mapping. And this is going to sound science fiction, but I literally sat with the executives and the people in DC who were talking about this. They're going to take your blood. They're going to create a genetic map of you as a human being. And that genetic map is going to be so detailed that it will essentially be a digital doppelganger of you. So they're going to create a fake you on the computer. They're then going to use that fake you and they're going to test different medicines so that they can create a custom medicine for you. Here's the problem. That medicine might be great if you can trust the AI and if you can trust the people who are creating the AI. But guess who creates the AI? The same big pharma that's been creating things that make you sick for decades. The same big pharma that's been putting out poisons that make you sick so they can then sell you the cure, just like I mentioned with Bayer buying Monsanto. So that they can give you the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma because they have a treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. This same group of people are implementing this same model with AI. Why would we ever trust Bill Gates? And by the way, Microsoft is one of the big drivers on this. Microsoft, who we just found China, has infiltrated them, that China's been involved with them. Microsoft, that's been controlled by Bill Gates, who's been, euthanizing people around the world, debatably. Microsoft, who, yeah, so they're driving a lot of this with our federal government. Do we really trust Bill Gates and Big Pharma to create medicines that we can't even test? There's no long-term testing. You want a 48-hour turnaround on things like cancer. How the hell can you know if a drug created in 48 hours is going to do anything good or bad for you long-term? And there's no way to know if it's intentionally being created where it's going to have long-term adverse effects.
You know, it's interesting you'd bring that up. You're into the area now of what they call longitudinal studies, studying the same people over a period of time. And it used to take 5 to 10 years to get a medicine to market. And they've now circumvented that. Now you're saying a 48-hour time frame to do that. It's impossible. You can't test the long-term effects on a human being in 48 hours.
They're going to argue, Dave, and mark my words on this. You put this on your calendar, and in a couple of years, look back and say, Renz was right. They're going to argue that no, you can't, but because AI is sufficiently advanced, it can simulate years worth of time in seconds. And so they're going to have this digital map of you, and they're going to run simulations through the AI systems. And they're going to argue that it provides the data about what could, would, should happen over years, but it's going to provide that data in 48 hours. It's garbage. It's a lie. And there's no way that we can trust what's coming out because there's no way a human can verify that. Even if they could do that, there's no way for a human to verify that because the complexity of it is so far beyond what we could do as humans that it's mind-blowing. So basically, it's going to come down to whether or not you trust this foreign AI intelligence that was created by Big Pharma and Bill Gates and people like that with your health, or you don't. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. There will never be an AI-based medicine that I will ever touch, ever. I just won't.
How do you know that the offshoot of medicine didn't originate with AI? That would be the tricky part to figure out for a person.
Yeah, well, that is the problem, right? So we know now that there's been AI systems. So, for example, let's take BARDA, right? BARDA is what DARPA's sister. Everybody knows about DARPA, the secret research for weapons. Well, BARDA is one of the sister agencies, right? They do the secret research, and a lot of their stuff is based on health. We don't know what they have. I mean, we know that the government's had access to AI for decades. And that AI is incredibly advanced. We don't know what they've been putting out, and BARDA does partner with Big Pharma. So it could be that some of the current medicines were based on AI. There's no way that we know that. What I do know is that to this point, to the best of my knowledge, no one has used my genetic information to create a drug specifically for me. And I don't want that to happen. That's not where I'm willing to go from a health perspective. Right now, what's happening is essentially when we look at where they're going with health, you look at the wearables and you look at the things that they're trying to do. These are things that they're doing because they expect that they're going to be able to use AI solutions to create, as you said, 120-year lifespan, 160-year lifespan, all those sorts of things. The problem is that if you believe that, to believe that, you have to trust the AI systems that they're using to create these drugs and these medicines. Well, first of all, there's the question of whether you trust an autonomous AI. It's autonomous. The AI is becoming autonomous. People don't understand how advanced AI, it really is going to become autonomous and self-driving. So there's that. But the other thing is even if you don't believe in an autonomous AI, you have to understand that the AI was created by someone. And do you really trust pharma and Bill Gates created AI to do anything good for you at all? I mean, that's insanity. That's like going to a hospital that employs serial killers and trusting that they're going to keep you alive when you go to the ER. It's insane. And I just can't fathom that this is the direction we're going and nobody's asking questions. It's just honestly what it is, though, Dave, is I know for the people listening right now, when I say this, they're like, what? This can't be. But we're 2 years away from a lot of this being the case. 2 years. That's how close we are. We're moving at lightning speed. The world's about to change in front of our eyes, and nobody realizes
I remember when Biden came into office,
it.
I don't remember the amount of scientists, it was into the hundreds or maybe even thousands, signed a petition. They were working in AI, and they said there needs to be governance over AI, and there's lack of oversight, and it could
Yep.
become very dangerous for us. Do you remember that petition?
I
And we heard
do.
about it in the news for about 2 days, and then never another word.
Yep. Well, in fact, not only not another word, but if you remember, they had a provision in the big, beautiful bill that was going to prevent states from regulating AI. They've gone the other direction because you've got Bill Gates and the technocrats out there that are pushing for that because they know that they can use AI in a way that's going to allow for really complete control. Do you know that a lot of social media, the censorship regime has changed, right? And anybody that doesn't think that there's control of messaging on social media, I got a bridge for you. Now, Elon Musk has done a great job of opening up a lot of communications, but do you know what controls the algorithm now? AI. Even on X, on all these platforms, it's AI that controls what you see or don't see. It's no longer, someone sitting behind the computer, we're going to block this guy. I mean, there's some of that still there, But most of the algorithms are now controlled by AI. Is that good? Well, I don't know. It depends on the AI, I guess. But at the end of the day, we have to understand where we're going with this. And essentially, we're turning over massive amounts of autonomy to a foreign intelligence that very few people can even wrap their head around. And to the point that when I'm saying this, I am 100% certain there are certain people saying, I mean, this has Rems lost his mind? Is he insane? Well, I'll pose this to y'all. How many times was I wrong about COVID? Was I
None.
wrong about the
You're at
masks?
the forefront, Tom. When you were working with frontline doctors, that was about the only bastion of truth we were getting about what was going on.
I wasn't wrong then, and I'm not
No.
wrong now, and I will bet my credibility on everything I'm saying. For 5 years, I've been right. And I'm going to tell you, I am not wrong about this because I didn't make it up. I just followed the evidence the same way that I have on everything else. And I'm sounding the alarm right now. I haven't been wrong for 5 years. I'm not wrong now. The next frontier of tyranny that we're about to face, you think a mask on your child was bad? Think about an AI manipulating what they're seeing. Think about what they can do psychologically. Think about when a medicine is created. We are seeing the next, listen, we just opened the second factory in the US for self-driving semis. That means that 3.5 million blue-collar worker jobs are going to be gone in the next few years because truck driving is going to go to autonomous self-driving trucks. Where do you think that takes us, Dave? You're going to see universal basic income. You know what you're going to have with universal basic income? A requirement that you take certain drugs and certain this and certain that because, well, that'll keep the budget down, right? We want to control healthcare costs. And if you take these vaccines and these drugs, well, that'll do it. So you're going to see requirements with universal basic income. It's coming. I've heard people say, well, I'll just get a job in the trades. Have you seen Elon Musk's robots? They're shaped like humans. They look like humans. If a human can do it, they can do it. There isn't going to be a trade job. They're going to go away. The white collar jobs, they're going away. We're going to see a tremendous, tremendous shift in the next 5 years in this country. And with regards to the reason I've looked into this is because my focus is MAHA, but I've looked, how do you get control over people's health? Well, people aren't going to take vaccines. They've found the truth because of our work. But guess what? When there are no jobs for people and everybody's on universal basic income, you're going to fulfill the requirements to get your universal basic income check. And part of that's going to be taking this vaccine, taking that medicine, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's going to be about shortening the lifespan, and you're going to have a permanent servant class that can be used intermittently to fulfill the desires and wishes of the ruling class. That's what universal basic income is, scientific feudalism. At
And
least
it's coming.
that's what I concluded. You're right on the money with where this is going. But see, they don't want everybody on universal basic income, so that means they got to depopulate, thin out the herd to limit their expense. And you're exactly right. These people are enemies of humanity. And I don't care how crazy this sounds, their actions speak to my conclusions.
100%. I mean, listen, we just saw just last night. You got Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg sitting next to the president talking about what they want to do. And Bill Gates is talking about innovation and cures and healthcare. Bill Gates, the guy who literally was ran out of India, who was ran out of Africa, who was ran out of countries all over the place for essentially experimenting on women and children and others. This guy, his father worked for Planned Parenthood. You know, he's carried the eugenics torch for down. I mean, this is one of the most sick and messed up individuals, a guy who's allegedly on every single Lolita Express Epstein, document you can find. I mean, think about what we're dealing with here. And he's sitting next to the president.
I know.
How
Well,
the
Tom, I'm going to give you this too, and I've been on the Palantir bandwagon in terms of going
Oh
after him,
boy.
because see what we're talking about here is infiltration into our health system and doing things that make the lifespan decline, which it has by 2 years since the advent of COVID. And Palantir is in the data collection business. And what I'm telling you, they're going to take AI data, synthesize it, and they're going to become more efficient about how they shorten our lives.
100%. And guess what? Guess what's happening right now? Palantir's taking over the federal government. They're going to have access to everything through
Everything.
the Obamacare electronic medical records. They're going to have access to all your health data, your IRS data, your financial data. They have access to. Remember, Palantir started as a CIA company, and their big push was on the Total Information Awareness Program, which got shot down because it was such an egregious violation of our rights. But now they're back. They've rebranded, and they're doing the same thing. And, you know, listen, I love Donald Trump. I think he is probably the best president we've had in a century. But he's allowing this to go forward because he's being lied to, in my opinion. And I was just on, and Stu Peters has a different approach to this. He's got a very, he thinks that Trump sold out. I don't think Trump sold out. I think Trump's got a bunch of snakes around him, just like he did in the first term, and they're lying to him. You know, you got Trump's chief of staff is still, as far as I know, working for Mercury LLC as a partner. Mercury LLC, a lobbying firm that's represented Gavi and Alibaba and all these different, Qatar. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, We have people who are pushing agendas, and Donald Trump can be the greatest president in history and not be able to do everything without relying on the people around him. And if the people around him are corrupt, guess what happens? Well, look at what happened in the first term. Pence, Barr, Bolton. I mean, we've got a history here of bad people infiltrating Trump and doing bad things around him. So we've got we the people. The solution now is for we the people to be loud and to speak out about some of this. Hey, we don't want AI running our government. We don't want AI running our lives. We don't want AI replacing people and replacing human jobs. I'm actually a big fan of what I'm calling the Protect Human Jobs Act, which is something that no one's fine. It's actually something I came up with. We need a Protect Human Jobs Act to ensure that we don't end up in this universal basic income situation. And we need to focus on building and structuring and supporting small businesses, independent businesses. We need to start focusing on building out alternative mechanisms by which we can have an economy rather than just having a few big businesses that are running everything, which is what's happening now. We've got to focus on alternative healthcare solutions. Listen, the natural world provides everything we need to basically be healthy. We just have to figure out how to use it. But pharma won't study that because they can't patent natural. So, I mean, there's a lot. We've got to continue fighting. We need to back Trump, but we also need to support, say, you know, Donald Trump, we love you. Why in the hell do you have Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg sitting next to you at dinner? Have you lost your mind?
Well, Peter Thiel, throw him in there too.
Well, we don't want to skip that one, you know, but I mean, you know, look at Thiel's connections to the people around Trump. I mean, it's terrifying.
It's scary. But, you know, we're entering into an era of pre-crime with the data collections mm-hmm. for predictive models. And they've been open about saying this.
Yeah.
Chart how someone's going to turn out. OK, so when do you act legally against people that you think are going to turn out bad?
Well, why do you think? So there was just an announcement day before yesterday, I think, DOJ is looking at taking guns away from trannies. Now let's talk about that, right?
Oh,
because
my.
We know that the trannies are mentally ill, and we know that a vast majority of the school shootings and these mass shootings are coming from these trannies. So listen, by definition, if you're transsexual, you have gender dysphoria disorder, which is a mental condition.
It is.
So we understand that, but here's the deal. To take a gun away from someone, which is a legitimate Second Amendment right, without them having done anything wrong to that point is a terrifying thing, but look at what it does. It's the kind of thing that conservatives say, yeah, those people are sick. And so we don't fight it. But once we set the precedent to allow our constitutional rights to be abridged without due process, without there being something that necessitates you doing it, that's a terrible thing. And I'm going to tell you, and I posted, I said, if this is just to tweak the left, that's funny. But if it's real, I oppose it. And I'm going to tell you, as much Don't ban guns from trannies, ban tranny medicines, ban unsafe tranny treatments, ban that stuff. You can't take the Second Amendment away from someone without due process, without them having done something to warrant it. We cannot allow predictive policing to creep into our society, no matter how appealing it is to us on the right.
I hadn't even thought about that as predictive policing, but you're right on the money. You know, the thing about what we're talking about here is where we started with this interview. When you're talking about trannies, all of them are on psychoactive psychiatric.
SSRIs and everything else.
Thank you. And on the black box warnings on things like Prozac for decades have said may cause violent enacting behavior. And when you see what is a commonality with mass shooters, they're on these medications.
Every one of them, every one of them. The problem, listen, if you are a transsexual, we know. I mean, listen, the books, the diagnostic books in psychology, literally listed as a mental gender dysphoria disorder is a long recognized legitimate mental illness. Because, I mean, listen, as a dude, if I want to get my junk removed, there's something wrong with me. That's not normal,
I agree.
right?
There used
So.
to be one transsexual surgeon in America when I trained to be a psychologist, and he was in Trinidad, Colorado, and you had to go through extensive psychological analysis and counseling before they even let you do it. And the operation it was so remote in its application. The numbers were low, but then they removed all the barriers. See,
And they promoted in children.
they changed DSM, Tom, to take being a tranny from being a psychological disorder to where it was more of a quirk and not clinical. And so they opened up the floodgates.
And I believe it's still in the Merck manual, though. I believe I could be wrong about that, but at the end of the day, these issues are things that are there. But what we're doing is we're taking, and this is something that we, the freedom lovers, have to be aware of. The people we're fighting against who hate freedom and want to destroy humanity, these are people who are brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and they know how to play us. And that's what they're doing here. We're going to take guns away from transsexuals. Well, that's predictive policing. You're removing a Second Amendment right that is vested in you by nature of being alive for no reason, without any sort of wrong. You're legally allowed to be transsexual. There's no legal prohibition. We can't say that you lose your rights for doing something that's legal. We cannot allow that ever. But this sounds so tempting to conservatives who want to say, yeah, it's not, the problem isn't guns, it's people with mental illness. That's true. But having a mental illness is not illegal. You can't abridge somebody's rights without due process of law. And there is no due process of law in this instance. It's inexcusable.
I know. Well, if you want to ban something, ban the SSRIs. That's where I would start with this. Tom, we're flat out of time. We left a lot on the table. We're going to have to do a follow-up, but I want to be able to enable the audience to follow your good work. How can they do that?
Thank you. Well, we're doing the Tom Renz show. That's 5 days a week on X, on Rumble, a bunch of places. We're on TomRenz.com. You can follow us on X, on Instagram, on social media. We're all over the place. And we need your help and we need your support. We need to get the show out there. We need to get the truth out there. Listen, I love Trump, but we're going to call it when there's an issue. I love the Democrats are insane, but we're going to look at everything they do and say what's going on.
They're
We just
satanically motivated, Tom. There's no question about it.
Oh, they're literally, they're it's next level than sanity. I don't have any, I mean, you just look at what's going on with the Democrat Party right now. It's insane. But honestly, Dave, at this point, how can you distinguish between what Senator Elizabeth Warren wanted yesterday and what Republican Senator Bill Cassidy did during the Kennedy hearings?
I know.
One of the
No,
things
I
that we
hear you.
got to recognize is that the Uniparty isn't just alive and well, they're running the show. And so we've got to really be awake. We've got to stand for truth, not for party, not for person, not for cult of personality, not for anything. We need to follow the evidence. We need to get to the truth, and we have to take a stand for that because our children's future depends on it.
Yeah, very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, your time is well spent if you're following Tom's shows. And we're going to have him back to expand on this content, which I know has been very controversial, but I'm going to say also very factual. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Dave.